A 13-year-old boy sits before an alphabet grid, his finger hovering over letters. Inside his mind, thoughts swirl with clarity and depth, but his mouth won't form the words. For years, he's been trapped in silence, watching the world assume he has nothing to say. Then, letter by letter, he begins to spell out something extraordinary, a bridge between two worlds that have struggled to understand each other. This is how Naoki Higashida gave voice to millions living with autism, transforming our understanding of a condition that affects roughly 1 in 54 children. His book doesn't just explain autism, it invites us inside an experience most of us can barely imagine, where every sound arrives unfiltered, every movement requires conscious effort, and the desire to connect battles against a body that won't cooperate. Imagine 20 radios playing simultaneously, lights pulsing painfully, the floor shifting beneath you, and you can't turn anything off. This is Naoki's sensory reality, where perception works without automatic filtering. When he flaps his fingers before his eyes, he's transforming harsh, stabbing light into something bearable, soft and gentle like moonlight. Certain noises neurotypical people barely register feel catastrophic. Covering ears isn't oversensitivity, it's protection against sounds that threaten to dissolve all sense of location and safety. It feels as if the ground is shaking and the surrounding landscape is coming to get us, Naoki explains. Visual processing differs too. While most see whole objects first, those with autism notice individual details before gradually assembling the complete picture. A face becomes eyes, then nose, then mouth, slowly coalescing into recognition. Vivid colors and eye-catching shapes command complete attention, making it nearly impossible to focus elsewhere. Yet this different way of seeing brings unexpected gifts, an ability to appreciate beauty in details others overlook. Naoki describes the body-mind disconnect with striking clarity. Sometimes my body feels completely beyond my control, as if everything except my soul belongs to someone else. Simple tasks require exhausting mental preparation before what looks like a 2-second action. Even knowing where his body parts are presents challenges. In gym class, when told to stretch his arms or bend his knees, he doesn't always know what his limbs are doing. "It's like my limbs are a mermaid's rubbery tail," he writes. This compromised proprioception makes movements feel like navigating through fog. The disconnect particularly affects speech. The words he wants to say and the words he produces rarely match. What emerges are often familiar phrases or movie quotes, reliable scripts when original speech feels impossible. Most poignantly, the disconnect affects emotional expression. Inside, Naoki might feel intense joy or anxiety, yet his face remains blank. When surprised or embarrassed, he freezes, unable to translate feelings into appropriate responses. This creates unique isolation, being fully present mentally while struggling to demonstrate that presence physically. When someone with autism doesn't respond as expected, their body simply isn't cooperating with their mind. Naoki challenges a core autism assumption. People with autism desperately want connection. "No human being truly wants to be left alone," he writes. "Apparent preference for solitude stems from anxiety about interactions that consistently fail, not disinterest. When someone suggests he prefers isolation, it makes me feel desperately lonely, as if they're deliberately giving me the cold shoulder. Eye contact feels uncomfortable because what we're actually looking at is the other person's voice. We're trying to listen with all our sense organs. Visual processing shuts down when focused on understanding speech. Conversation feels like speaking an unknown foreign language every minute of every day. Panic produces repeated questions or seemingly random answers. Even simple greetings prove challenging. Waving goodbye with his palm facing inward wasn't deliberate. He simply couldn't imitate the movement because body awareness remains elusive. These challenges aren't about lacking social interest, but fundamental differences in perception that make interaction extraordinarily taxing. Despite these barriers, Naoki emphasizes, basically, my feelings are pretty much the same as yours. The desire to connect burns just as brightly. The pathways are simply different. Naoki dismantles a damaging myth that autism means limited emotional capacity. A major misunderstanding is that our feelings aren't as complex as yours, he writes, but we experience the same emotions, possibly with even greater sensitivity, because we can't express them properly. When making mistakes, his mind shuts down completely. What looks like overreaction feels like heaven and earth have been turned upside down. Memory intensifies this experience. Past events replay with original intensity, like sudden storms. Even laughter manifests differently, pictures appearing spontaneously in his mind. Most heartbreaking is his description of shame. When we're scolded or laughed at for mistakes without being able to apologize, we end up hating ourselves and despairing about our lives repeatedly. This transforms how we should respond to meltdowns. Naoki advises letting the person release emotions through crying or yelling while staying nearby and preventing self-injury, acknowledging these feelings rather than suppressing them. The person suffering most, he reminds us, is the one with autism. Naoki describes a profound connection many autistic people feel with nature. We people with autism love the greenness of nature differently than others, he writes. While you might appreciate nature's beauty, for us, it's as vital as life itself. Nature provides unconditional acceptance. When we look at nature, we receive permission to exist in this world, recharging our entire bodies. No matter how often people ignore or reject us, nature always embraces our hearts. Water holds particular significance. In water, everything is quiet and we feel completely free. Repetitive behaviors often involve natural elements, watching running water, observing falling leaves, studying insects, creating meditative states that refresh and clear our brains. This connection offers practical insights. Outdoor walks, gardening, and water play provide crucial respite from sensory and social demands. Naoki suggests this reflects something deeper. I believe people with autism are born outside civilization's regime. Though physically similar to others, we're fundamentally different, like travelers from the distant past. This frames autism not as deficit, but as an alternative way of being that maintains stronger connections to the natural world. In his most personal reflections, Naoki addresses what many parents fear asking: would he choose to be normal if possible? His answer surprises. For ages, I desperately wanted to be normal. Living with special needs is depressing and relentless. Yet he continues, but now, even if someone developed a cure for autism, I might choose to remain as I am. He's learned that every human must strive to do their best. And as long as we can learn to love ourselves, I'm not sure how much it matters whether we're normal or autistic. His most urgent message is a plea for continued engagement. We children with autism want you to watch out for us, meaning please never give up on us. Your watchfulness makes us stronger. People with autism would give anything to be properly understood. This understanding means recognizing that autism's difficulties don't stem from selfishness or ego, but from genuine neurological differences. The real hope isn't for a cure, but for acceptance and support that allows people with autism to flourish on their own terms. No matter how hard or sad an autistic life can be, hope helps us persevere, Naoki writes. He wants this hope to connect futures together, autistic and neurotypical alike, learning from each other and building a world that makes space for different kinds of minds.